This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding revelation and end time truth by David Ebal. The title of this message is Key to Tribulation.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This song gives us hope and proof that we can trust in our God for deliverance through the tribulation and not necessarily out of it. Now also along the same line, let's look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, where he says, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Also, by way of review, we should look at the book of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 3, verse 19, it says, Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said to his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near unto the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Also, along the same line, we should look in Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. These are several examples of the supernatural delivering power of our Lord. There is a natural and there is a supernatural, and God provides the supernatural power of deliverance from the temptation, from the trial, and deliverance from the tribulation. Now it makes no difference how old we are at the time of the opening of the sixth seal. If you happen to be a very aged person, maybe 94 or 194, and you are alive and remain to the opening of the sixth seal, then read these scriptures. Learn these scriptures of deliverance and recite them unto the Lord, because you are the generation that's alive and remain to the opening of the sixth seal. And Jesus said that this is the generation that shall hear the blowing of the seventh trumpet, the very last event. Therefore, there is an excellent and wonderful opportunity and possibility that you can go through and be alive and remain and be that last and final generation and overcome the last enemy, which is death. Remember how Peter, when he looked out the side of the boat on the Galilee, saw Jesus walking on the water, and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said unto Peter, come. Peter actually at that time did walk on the top of the water. As Peter walked on the water, as God supernaturally gave him a power that made him go and rise above the problem, above the trouble, to be above the situation of life. And with his eyes upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he had the supernatural power and he was able to walk on the top of the water. But there's something to also learn from this lesson, that when we remove our eyes from our Lord and look down at the trouble, when we see the problem, the temptation or the tribulation, and let it loom up big in our sight, then we begin to sink. Then we begin to fall under the power, the natural power of this world. But as long as we have that supernatural power, which comes with our from having our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ, then we can actually perform supernatural acts walking on the top of the water. As we study these things, we find out that Jesus always took his people through the trouble and not out of it. There is no need to worry about the tribulation because you and I are in his hands. His hands are big enough and strong enough to always protect us. He can protect us. He can help us. We will be like Noah. We will receive instructions, supernatural instructions for protection so that we can go through the thing and not out of it. Now, as long as we're on the subject of going through the tribulation and not out of it through a rapture, let's look in Matthew chapter 24, where the most famous scripture of all concerning that is commonly used to teach a rapture is found in Matthew 24, verse 40. Matthew 24, verse 40. Now, let's read it first the way it is in the Bible, then we'll read it the way we sometimes read it. In 24:40 it says, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left." Now, normally we read it this way, we'll say, "Two shall be in the field, the good one will be raptured, and the bad one will be left." But that's not what it says. It doesn't say the good one or the bad one. And it doesn't mention a rapture. It just says, one will be taken and the other left. It does not identify whether it's the good one taken or the bad one taken. But we, in our fundamental desire to have some way out of the bad things that are going to be happening during this tribulation, read into it something that's not there. We say that this refers to the rapture. We used to say this refers to the rapture when we were studying the normal fundamental way of interpreting this. And we used to say that the one that would be taken would be the good one, the Christian, who is raptured, and the other one left. But that's not what it says. Now, let's go back and read it again. "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left." Didn't say which one. "Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left." Doesn't tell whether it's the good one or the bad one that's taken. Now, in order to determine, let's ask Jesus. Jesus, which is it? The good one or the bad one that's taken first? So now we'll turn over to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives us the answer to the question, whether it'll be the good one or the bad one that is taken first. Now, in chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 37, Jesus reads, says these words, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Remember that, sower is Jesus Christ. Now, the field is the world. Remember, we're talking about the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Those would be the good ones. Now, the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, the tares would be the bad ones. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. That's Satan. That's that old serpent. That's the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, or in your RSV or one of the modern translations would say the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. And now let's go back, and since Jesus has given us this interpretation, let's go back to where the parable is given in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. In Matthew 13:24, we get the parable. And we'll read it like this. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But instead of saying it that way, we'll use the interpretation and we'll say the kingdom of heaven is like unto Jesus Christ. See, remember in verse 37 he said, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. So now when we read it in 24, we'll just insert Jesus Christ, who sowed the good seed in his field. Now the good seed, we remember, are the Christians, that is, the children of the kingdom. And the field is the world. So if we read it this way, the kingdom of heaven is like when Jesus sowed the Christians into the world. Now I'm reading from verse 24, you see, but putting in the interpretation. Now in 25 it says, but while men slept, his enemy, that would be the devil, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his ways. In other words, the devil came and sowed his disciples, that is, the bad people, among the wheat, the good people, the Christians, and went his way. Now, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. In other words, in our Christian society, we have Christians and we have non-Christians parading as Christians, acting like that they are among this body of Christ or in the church, but they're not. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, this would be, of course, the servants be the angels or the reapers in the last time. Didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Or didn't you put the good Christians in the world? From whence then has it these tares? And he said unto them, verse 28, an enemy, or in this case, the devil. The devil has done this. The servants, in this case, would be called the angels. The angel said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather the bad ones up? But he said, nay. See, that gather them up, referring to the bad ones. Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, or the bad ones, ye root up also the wheat, or the children of the kingdom with them. Now, you let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, these are the angels, gather ye together first the tares. Do you see it? We are in harvest time. We are in the time of the fifth seal. I'll say to the angels, gather ye together what? F-I-R-S-T. First the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus said that the ones that are separated are first the tares, which are the children of the devil or the wicked one, and secondly, or the last, the remaining is to be gathered together into the supernatural protection of his barn. Now, we have seen tracts that use these scriptures in Matthew 24, wherein it says the two be working in the field, one taking the other left and so forth. And they use this scripture to indicate that there will be a rapture. And, well, we remember seeing a newspaper where there was a picture of an airplane, and it showed that the plane was in a nosedive and the pilot had been raptured and all the people were screaming. And then in the same picture was a bus that was going off the cliff and with the screaming people in it because the driver, who was a Christian, was being raptured out the top of the thing. And you've seen all these things, which would indicate that first the Christian is taken out and the bad people are left to inherit the world. But that's not what Jesus said. He did not say that in Matthew 24. Now, I'll admit that they use this scripture, that is the fundamental, the church uses this scripture to teach a rapture, but that is not what the scripture says. It does not say that the Christian will be raptured out first. We read into that scripture what we want it to say, but it doesn't really say that. Jesus settles the matter when we read it in Matthew 13, and he says, first the bad ones, then the good ones. Now, the church that I used to go to, and also in my margin notes on some of my Bibles that I've purchased, it tells me that in the realm of this final or eschatology type of study, that in the last time, that at the appearance of the Antichrist, we'll say, that the who cares, like a Christian, who cares about the Antichrist? Because we've been taught that we are going to be raptured before the Antichrist comes, before the appearance of the Antichrist, before the Antichrist has a chance or is even manifest. So they teach us to keep our eyes looking for Jesus because his return will be first, and then they teach us that after his return, after our rapture, then the Antichrist will come and take over and take over what's left. But that's not what the Bible says. That's what I was taught. And that's what I used to teach, and for 20 years I taught first the rapture, then the Antichrist. But now that I see the truth of the matter, let's turn to it here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start with the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now we would call this the rapture. I mean, if you got to have a rapture, of course, we all realize then and know that the word rapture isn't even in the Bible. We made that up too. But if you got to have a rapture, well, we'll put it here, that calling it, they are gathering together unto him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Let's say that again. Let no man deceive you by any means. Better say that again. Let no man deceive you by any means. Why? For that day shall not come. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This teaches in very clear, concise words that the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition will be revealed first, and after that, then our gathering together unto him. Of course, in connection with the revelation of the man of sin, there shall be the great apostasy or the falling away, where it talks about in the third verse. Now, so that there's no misunderstanding, and everyone sees what I'm trying to say, if you'll just, while you're here in 2 Thessalonians, let your eyes switch over to 1 Thessalonians. If you have to rattle a page, there'll only be one. And if you go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we read, starting in the 13th verse, I believe this. Someone may have the wrong idea and think that I don't believe in a rapture. Well, I do believe in a resurrection. I believe there will be a resurrection, and I think that the Bible is completely convincing that there will be this resurrection. However, the truth in the matter is that I personally think that we who are alive and remain and getting the truth of these studies will not have to go through death. Therefore, we will be alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, and will be the generation that overcomes death. Now let's read it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now notice in verse 16 that he mentions again with the trump of God. Did you see the word trump? T-R-U-M-P, the trump of God. Now, that we remember in the study of the book of Revelation that there are seven trumpets to blow in this study of eschatology, in the study of end time things. There are seven trumpets to blow. And here it indicates that Jesus shall descend with the sound of a trump, with the trump of God, shedding light or indicating about the time that he should come. In other words, one of these trumps will be the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we study a little bit further, we'll find out which trump. If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 concerning the trump, well, we ought to start with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We're reading from 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, this is what it was referring to over there in Thessalonians. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Did you see? L-A-S-T, trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. At the which trump? The last, L-A-S-T, trump. And Revelation sets the record straight. It's the seventh trump at the last trump. And in the Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, as a review, that angel says that at the beginning, when that angel begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. At the sound of the last trump, this prophecy that has been the groaning of the ages will be finished, will be brought forth at the sound of the last trump, or the seventh trump, according to the book of Revelation. Now, this ties in the seven trumpets of Revelation with the trump that's mentioned in Thessalonians. It also ties in the trump that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, 52, and it shows, and they all agree, that the return of the Lord is in connection with the sound of the trumpet. Three witnesses, all speaking of the same thing. Read it carefully, and don't let anyone stretch this thing, but just read it for what it says, and you'll find out that it has to be the last trump. The return of our Lord and Savior in this realm of the chronology or the chronological order of events is at the last trump.
For the second part of this message by David Ebaugh, entitled Key to Tribulation, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.